Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, everyone. I am your host, Kelly Newcomb, founder of Brave Parenting.
And I'm your co-host, Chelsea Heasel. And this is the podcast where Kelly and I unpack an aspect of media and technology and how it intersects with the Christian faith, especially in relation to raising and discipling our kids.
Yes. And today, friends, our focus will be on the media side of the coin, and that is the entertainment industry of movies. And of course, in continuation of our what seems to be never-ending series on AI, we're going to talk about AI influence in entertainment. Now, before we jump in, let's gather some context. I think many of us, when we first learned about ChatGPT in 2022 when it was released, we connected this new technology to what we had already been taught about AI in the movies and in television. Perhaps you, like Chelsea and I, have had discussions about all of this emerging AI technology, and maybe you've used the words like Terminator or Matrix in your conversation. And I think this is natural because when we try to comprehend what we cannot understand, our mind works to find some kind of framework to fit it into. Well, in movies, and the impressions that they make on our minds about what is possible or impossible are sometimes the only framework that we have to work with. Which reminds me, Chelsea, have you heard that there's a growing movement, or really I should say worldview, that believes that we are living in a simulation, that we only think that we're living here on Earth, but in reality, all we see and experience is part of a virtual simulation?
Like the Matrix style simulations? Like, I thought people, that was like a funny analogy, but people actually believe that?
That's a growing thing. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I guess it was inevitable considering how many people kind of like live in a virtual world, you know, through social media, video games, streaming, all that kind of stuff. But it probably really does get hard for some folks to recognize what's real and what's not real.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. So for fun, because this is what Chelsea and I do for fun, we started listing all the movies that we could think about that incorporated some sort of AI imagery in an attempt to portray what the future might look like.
That's right. So we did some more research and we found ourselves intrigued by how many AI movies were out there already. Like, for instance, the first movie to include AI was actually made in 1927. It was called Metropolis, which that just blew my mind, Kelly. 1927.
Yeah, it's like almost 100 years ago.
That's exactly right. I cannot believe we're coming up on 100 years of AI in entertainment. And through those years since 1927, we've just been taught and we've been shown a broad spectrum of AI's potentials. So in 2023, Julie Olek wrote a post or a blog post titled 100 Years of the Good, the Bad, and the Circuits in AI Movies. And in it, she says, the portrayal of AI in movies has always been a reflection of people's hopes and fears about the latest technological advancements. In a way, AI cinema tells stories not only about machines, but also about humanity and ethics and our societal attitudes throughout every decade. What started with a silent portrayal of a semi-independent tool over time grew to fully sentient beings, taking the roles of either villains or heroes. However, no matter what era we're talking about, AI depictions always match existing preconceptions and potential future ideas.
Wow, that's a great quote. So what we want to do is to review the ways AI has been depicted in the movies and then discuss those depictions with a biblical worldview. Now, you might be thinking, why do we need to carve out 30 to 40 minutes of your day to listen to a history of AI and entertainment sort of lesson? Well, this is because we want to learn from our mistakes. I want you to think about when the Supreme Court decided the Obergefell versus Hodges, the same-sex marriage decision, and it was codified into law. Why was it so easy for millions of Americans to support that decision? What had happened to American minds for years leading up to that decision? Well, they were amused with entertainment that featured homosexual relationships. And I specifically use that word amused with that entertainment because the word amused actually means not thinking. So we're going to get a little technical here. The ah means without, the amused means thinking. So amused means not thinking. So you are being entertained while not thinking. You're just taking what that entertainment gave you and accepted it as almost real. We had shows like Will and Grace, Friends, ER, Melrose Place, Dawson's Creek, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and many more that featured homosexual relationships in a reality that mimicked our own in order to show us that these homosexual relationships could be and should be normative in our reality.
So like Kelly said, we are almost at 100 years of AI-featured entertainment, and we just don't want to be amused. We do not want to be caught being amused by AI. We can't afford to be amused by AI. The costs are just way too high, you guys. We have to be thinking critically about what the entertainment is trying to tell us should be normative. And because as of right now, there are just no laws on the books as it relates to AI, even more so, we need to be critical about what we're watching. Surely some kind of ethical use boundaries will emerge eventually, because the potential and the power of this technology is just too great to wait for the next, you know, congressional session. In fact, this year, as some of you may remember, there was a massive strike in Hollywood. I actually should say last year, because it happened over 2023, right, in the summertime. And a lot of that strike in Hollywood had to do with AI's problematic influence on writing and filming. Fran Drescher, who you guys might remember from the TV sitcom The Nanny, she's the current president of SAG-AFTRA. And she said during the strike, she said, quote, "The entertainment business model has changed by streaming, digital, and AI. This is a moment of history that is a moment of truth. If we don't stand tall right now, we are going to all be in trouble. We are all going to be in jeopardy of being replaced by machines and big business who cares more about Wall Street than you and your family. We think it is absolutely vital that this negotiation protects not just our likeness, but makes sure that we are well compensated when any of our work is used to train AI. All actors and performers deserve contract language that protects them from having their identity and talent exploited without consent and pay," end quote. So regardless of your feelings about Hollywood and the entertainment industry, she actually makes a valid point advocating for the establishment of boundaries and guardrails for how AI is used. She's echoing what a lot of businesses who could be AI'd out of jobs are thinking right now, because there's just no guardrails. No one in any industry has a clue how to apply concepts like justice or creative rights to AI, because nothing exists like this in the United States. Now, with that said, the European Union did just pass its AI Act last month, and it's the first of its kind, and it's going to be rolled out over something like the next 2 to 3 years. But Kelly, could America actually wait 2 to 3 years to see justice and creative rights protected?
I mean, I think that they actually will wait a couple years, sadly, based on the trajectory we've seen already. But when it comes to just thinking about AI, I mean, the first thing we think about is either like this dystopian future, or we think of it just being AI'd out of jobs, like the entertainment industry is considering right now. So all of these are important aspects. But what we want to do is apply our biblical worldview to this, so that our framework is scripture. Our framework doesn't have to be what entertainment says AI is going to be. So with all of that as background, let's hit the big screen with some AI movies. Now, we are going to be working from a Washington Post article that identified ways AI has been portrayed in entertainment. The article identifies 5 different portrayals. And so we're going to briefly discuss the movies that these portrayals within each category, and then we're going to think about them with our biblical worldview. Now, the first portrayal is the killer AI. Easily everyone's worst nightmare, right? And it's something we all are kind of thinking about. Will AI become Agent Smith from The Matrix, or will it become the Terminator? What happens when AI becomes sentient, or will that even happen?
You know, this is where my mind went the moment I heard the words artificial intelligence and humanoid robots. I actually could almost hear, I think it was REM who sang, "It's the end of the world as we know it," right? Like, it was just like playing nonstop in the back of my mind. And I was like, okay, this is it. We're all going to go to heaven.
If you're referring to the conversation that Ryan and I had with you trying to explain artificial general intelligence and quantum computing, where your mind was blown, yes, I think that is the song that was playing at the time. And you're not alone. this scenario has been burned in our mind through the movies. And it replays over and over in people's minds because that's the only picture they have. And fear is powerfully persuasive. We all have to remember the devil doesn't get us with a whole lie. He gets us with a half truth. So we have to ask ourselves, what is true and what is false about this AI portrayal of the killer AI? So let's start with what is true. What is true about the portrayal of a killer AI is that it could possibly happen one day. We do have to acknowledge that, but it hasn't happened today. And as Jesus said in Matthew 6 on the topic of a worry, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? How does worrying about what will or will not happen today or tomorrow help us actually in this moment right now? It doesn't, right? Jesus goes on to say, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So the worry about killer AI is so hypothetical that it's not even fruitful to sort of waste our energy on it and worry about it today. I mean, ultimately, we know that nothing can thwart God's plan. He will return. AI might make it a little bit crazy before he does, but we know that he is sovereign and he is in control of it all. So when we think about questions of the things that consume our worries, will today be the day that my son has flashed, his first pornographic image from a friend's phone at school or on the bus? Or will today be the day my daughter's heart becomes envious of an influencer, becomes to hate her body, right? These are all worries that can consume us. But Jesus prescriptively tells us the fix for our worry is to seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness. Worrying about the potential killer AI betrays a loss of trust in God and his sovereignty. So how do we seek his kingdom first when we have thoughts of killer AI? Well, do you pray dependently on God? I think that would be our first question. Are you praying to him? Are you praising him? Are you thanking him that he has deemed you more worthy than the birds of the air or the lilies of the field? Do you pray for the creators and the designers of this technology or for more God-fearing Christians to be involved, whether in the technology development or in government policies? We just prayed that before we started this podcast for those very things, just because we need this and we need God to intervene and we can rest that he in the fact that he will. So we need to remind ourselves, frankly, all the time that God is in control. His word says that he sustains the earth and all that is going on just with the word of his power. So everything from the birds of the air to the lilies of the field, all the way till AI, he is in control and sovereign over. Now, we also have to ask ourselves, what is false about this portrayal of killer AI? Well, I think this portrayal entertains the idea that AI is in control and everything else is out of control. And neither of those things can be true. No one in heaven has pulled the fire alarm and is freaking out because ChatGPT is being used in humanoid robots, right? It's happening and God knew it would happen. As much as God knew that Paul would use the technology of ink and paper and come under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pen the Bible as we know it, right? God knew we would eventually use voice to text, facial recognition, and generative AI to advance ourselves. So then, does this technology change anything about what we believe as Christians? And the answer is no, it doesn't, right? God is sovereign. And we are still held by God and unable to be moved out of his hands. And the Bible's imperative commands still tell us it's a continual command to pursue righteousness in our lives, regardless of circumstances. So when you watch movies that have killer AIs being portrayed, whether that be something like The Terminator, which you should not be watching with your children, by the way, or Matrix, maybe you're watching that with teenagers. These are good questions to ask. What is true about this portrayal? And what is false? Remind them that we have another framework, which is scripture, to view this potential reality from.
That's an excellent point. I love the idea of watching movies and asking kids questions while you watch them. That's one of my favorite things to do with my kids. Okay, so the second portrayal is the AI lover. Now, this is clearly seen in WandaVision and in Marvel's Infinity Wars when Wanda, also known as the Scarlet Witch, she falls in love with Vision, who's Tony Stark's AI creation. It's also in the movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson. Joaquin's character falls in love with an AI system that's disembodied. It's just a voice, which is Scarlett Johansson's character. Kelly, do you remember, it's a little bit older, the movie The Stepford Wives?
So I don't ever remember watching it, but because I saw it on this list, I did watch the trailer and yikes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we watched a few trailers and double yikes. Yes, exactly. So for research purposes, obviously for research purposes, I rewatched it and wow, let me tell you, the first time I probably watched this many years ago, I was amused, right? But this time I had new eyes, new perspective, and yes, wow. These women had powerful jobs. They were the breadwinners or the leaders of their families. And then their husbands take them to Stepford, Connecticut after they've kind of had like mental breakdowns. And their husbands eventually put chips in their brains and then turn them into trad wives. Now, there are these perfectly put together submissive wives that just can't say no to anything. And yes, you get what I mean when I say that. It was really just awful on so many levels because ultimately men, women, and marriage, all of it is just portrayed as a farce. The institution of marriage is just manipulated to please and pleasure one person in the marriage, whether that was the wife with a high-powered job and she was just very dismissive to her husband, or whether it was the husband with the perfect Stepford wife. It was just all around just kind of gross, and I did not enjoy it when I just rewatched it.
You were not amused. And I think what is disturbing is, first, since Elon Musk literally just put the first chip in someone's brain, like this is an actual thing that's happening now. When this movie came out, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, that was not a reality. And now that is. And then the second disturbing fact is, like, because this trad wife is now a trend on social media platforms like TikTok. And for those who do not know what a trad wife is, it's like, picture like the quintessential Leave It to Beaver 1950s stay-at-home mom who cooks, cleans, and is submissive to her husband. It was never a bad thing. It was just the way it was in society. But now, I don't know, social media has turned it into something else because that's what social media does. But that's what's so interesting about this movie is it was really ahead of its time, sadly.
No, I think you're spot on. Actually, I think when we look at some of the movies on this list, all of them are kind of ahead of its time. And that shows us, I think, what you just kind of said about like the trad wife and the chip and all that kind of stuff, about what is false about this portrayal of the AI lover. Humans cannot have real and authentic romantic relationships with computers, no matter how well they're programmed to be compassionate or patient or engaging and loving. It's just not real. They cannot procreate, and thus it's not within God's created order. God created woman to be Adam's complementary partner, and the two become one flesh in marriage. This is how God defined romantic relationships in the beginning, and this is how we, as humans today, still exist within that romantic relationship, that context, because man and woman have come together, they've procreated year after year, couple after couple. This is how humanity has continued to exist. God did not create man and woman and robot. Humanity doesn't continue to exist within this portrayal of the AI lover. We can also look back at this portrayal and remember what's true. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I take then the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? For it said the two will become one flesh, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality, and all other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." I think with this portrayal of the AI lover, we forget the importance of the actual body. Your body is very, very, very important. In secular society, the body is just seen as kind of something disposable, something evil, something that should be physically altered to fit the true self inside. So it's just, like I said, it's just discarded. It's easily trash. This is Gnosticism, which is the basic philosophy of body bad, spirit good. But what Paul is saying here is he's emphasizing, reiterating to the Corinthian church that God raised Christ from the dead in his body. That's how important our here and now bodies are. They're going to be with us in eternity. They matter. So when you commit a sexual sin, you're sinning against yourself and abusing your body. Not only that, but if you are a believer, even more grievously, is you're taking the Holy Spirit with you into that sexual sin.
And I just want to make a note here that we actually have to talk about the fact that this is committing sexual sin, because that's where people are going with this, y'all. They are actually like having some sort of like virtual sexual relationship with chatbots. It's really disturbing. I mean, it's not just in the movies. You can read, like we talked about Replica and the chatbot companionship. People are considering them truly like their lovers. So while it sounds crazy and far-fetched, this is sadly why we have to talk about it being a sin on your physical body and actually committing sexual sin, because that's what people are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, I mean, we've mentioned it multiple times in our own conversations, the guy in China who married his avatar. Like this is actually happening. So what we're saying is we have to honor our bodies and use them the way God intended, and the sexual use of our bodies is with our spouse, no one else. Now, if we know of or hear about people using AI to fulfill their sexual desires, again, we can apply what we know through scripture to help us understand what's going on, because this portrayal of the AI lover is actually much more relatable, real, more likely than the AI robot killer. So Romans 1:24 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen."
And that's just it, worshiping the created things rather than the Creator. AI is created. And the suppression of what is true, that God is real, that his word is truth, and his truth aligns with reality, and he has revealed himself in order to be known. This truth is still being suppressed today, as it was in the first century when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans. And they tried to look wise by saying, you know, AI porn is ethical, or AI romantic partners is healthy because it's safe and no one is hurt or exploited and it makes me happy. And what does God's word tell us? That claiming to be wise, they became fools. So when we watch movies like Marvel Infinity Wars, or even, Chelsea, we noticed that in Guardians of the Galaxy, there's a subtle scene where they are strongly alluding to one character engaging with a robot and sex. If our kids see this, we must be ready to pause the movie and ask questions about what is true and what is false with what is portrayed. Our kids are going to be left amused unless we engage their critical thinking skills. They need a framework, no matter how basic, that helps them discern what is true and what is false. And scripture is the most reliable framework there is.
Amen. Now, we're going to move on to our third portrayal, and this is the AI philosopher. This portrayal of AI can be found in movies like I, Robot and the character of Sonny, or in the 1999 film Bicentennial Man with the late and great Robin Williams. Some of you might remember this movie from your childhood. It came out kind of really quickly after Mrs. Doubtfire, which everyone loved at the time. And Bicentennial Man was directed by the same guy who directed Mrs. Doubtfire. Robin Williams ends up playing a house robot, kind of like a Jetsons version of Rosie, who kind of then becomes aware that he's a robot and not a human. And the humans then in his life come alongside him to help him find his true inner self and then modify his external features to look human. We're talking about like skin and hair and eye color. And yes, He's even given genitalia so that he can have sex, but he's unable to have kids because at the end of the day, he's still a robot. Kelly, what are your thoughts on that?
I wish everyone could just see my face right now because, you know, I know this content's out there. So when you read it out loud, it's like, what in the world? This sounds like this script was written in 2019, not 1999. I mean, which is crazy to think that the writers of this were thinking so really far in advance of a human confirmation surgery. What in the world?
I know. That's what I was like when I was reading about it and watching the trailers and stuff. I was like, I mean, the little emoji with his head blowing off the top. I was like, wow, this is like, it could easily be something we see today, right? Yeah. So it's easy to see even in these types of kind of like dystopian sci-fi robot filled movies, the shifting of worldview and values. There are just so many elements of Bicentennial Man that are actual discussions today. Like, what does it mean to be human? Are we really only the sum total of our experiences? Is that all that it means to be human? Or are we only what we can taste and touch and feel and see? There's actually even more recently a film that was made in 2021 called After Yang. And this is where a sentient robot who was purchased to be a companion for an only child discovers his memory bank and his past lives. Now, we can ask what is true about movies like this with the AI philosopher, movies which aim to answer big questions of life and of humanity. What does it mean to be human? What should the human experience include or not include? This is kind of what the AI philosopher portrayal aims to do. So first, one thing we know to be true is that in order for humanity to actually experience this kind of AI, we would have to achieve AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, or basically super intelligence. And we're just not there yet. We may be in our lifetime, but sentient robots are just currently not possible. This could give rise to an entire other conversation about AGI, which I think could be very helpful dialogue in the future, you know?
So, well, last week or so, I don't know if you saw it, Chelsea, in the news, Elon Musk gave his prediction that he thinks that AGI, artificial general intelligence, is going to be achieved in about 2 years.
I saw that and I'm just...
And honestly, artificial general intelligence doesn't mean we're going to have sentient robots, right? That is still something that I don't even think that the technology developers are even aiming for, because that's kind of the Terminator aspect of it. But all in all, I'm just going to tell you the category that I am placing... Well, really anything Elon Musk says and does. I'm placing it in I call it my To Kill a Mockingbird category. And that is, Scout, it's not time to worry yet. If you've read To Kill a Mockingbird, you know that Scout's father says that to her numerous times throughout the book, trying to calm the anxiety of this young adolescent girl. I tell myself this all the time. It's not time to worry yet. I find it great comfort. And just reminding myself, right? In a way, it's reminding myself of God's sovereignty. But just, I don't need to worry about what I see in the news.
Yeah, that's true. I would agree with you on that one.
So, okay, let's consider what's false now, Chelsea, about the portrayal of the AI philosopher. Well, what is false is that AI robots and chatbots can ever authentically or truthfully answer the questions or explain the meaning of what it means to be human. And I'm going to state a real obvious statement. They cannot tell us what it means to be human because they are not human. And learning information about humans is not the same as being a human. Think of it similar to how that super popular trans influencer on TikTok and Instagram, Dylan Mulvaney, he cannot actually provide true statements about what it means to be a girl, which is his whole platform, like living as a girl, as a young girl. Why can he not tell us true statements about that? Because he was born a male. And no matter how much he wants to try and say that he is living like a girl, he cannot make true statements about that. And that is the same thing about computers, AI robots, all of that. So going back to what we know within our biblical worldview, we know that only the creator of humanity can provide the answers to these questions about our anthropology, which that is our humanity, or our ontology, which is our existence in life, and our teleology, or telos, which is our purpose, right? So sorry to geek out with you on some theological terms, but these are really good to know. Anthropologie is actually more than an expensive clothing store, if you didn't know. Anthropologie tells us what it means to be human. We find the answers to this in scripture. And AI-powered robots and chatbots cannot do this, no matter how much Hollywood portrays that it can. They may conversationally give a predictive answer that could be correct, but that's it. That is all that they can do.
The bottom line is that we have to ensure our children understand that the creation answers to the creator. I think you guys should consider this. There was once a Russian cosmonaut who famously said, "I've gone into outer space and I didn't see God." The great apologist and author C.S. Lewis responded to that cosmonaut by saying, "You wouldn't relate to God the way a person on the first floor relates to the person on the second floor. Another is you don't find God by going higher up into your own space. If our God is our creator, then we would relate to God as Hamlet would relate to Shakespeare." Now, how would Hamlet ever know anything about Shakespeare? Hamlet's not going to find him anywhere on the stage. The only way he's ever going to meet God or him is if Shakespeare writes himself into the play. I absolutely love this analogy from Lewis. We are the creation who can only be defined by a personal God who wrote himself into the language of men through the Bible. You and I will never know who we are until we submit ourselves to his authority. So the AI portrayal of the AI philosopher answering the questions of the meaning of life can just kind of be rendered invalid. It's never going to happen. It's dependent upon God's truth.
I love that quote from C.S. Lewis as well. It's true. I mean, Shakespeare would have to write himself into the play. And God did just that by becoming flesh and dwelling among us with his son. Amazing. I love that truth. All right. The next portrayal is more believable, I think, than the philosopher AI. And that is the all-seeing AI, or sort of the surveillance AI. So maybe you'll remember the 2002 hit movie Minority Report, where AI surveillance tracks you. The movie features a pre-crime squad that anticipates a human's actions based on their previous pattern of choices. And honestly, this kind of thing's been going on for a while. Chelsea, do you remember in 2012 when it kind of became big headline news, when a father just became indignant that his teenage daughter was sent coupons from Target for baby items and diapers and such?
Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
Well, Target was tracking all of their buyers' purchases, and then through pattern recognition, they were sending them coupons based on what they predicted the buyer would want to buy next. And quite accurately, that's how this father found out that he would be a grandfather, is because the teenage girl bought a pregnancy test at Target, and so they automatically assumed that they could send her coupons for baby items. They recognized the pattern. And this is, frankly, what drives algorithms and social media. This is how it knows who our friends might be and suggests them to us. This is the algorithms that help detect bank fraud. And I would say something we all love, detecting spam emails and filtering them out, right? This pattern prediction is what AI does best. But as always, we're going to consider what we know to be true when we consider and think about AI knowing everything about us. What we know to be true is that nothing is more all-seeing than our omnipresent God. This attribute of God describes how the eternal God is both immanent, meaning that he is close, and that he is transcendent, meaning that he is outside of time and space. God's omnipresence is an incommunicable attribute of God, meaning that no human or computer possesses this trait. And because God is omnipresent, every single person lives what we call coram Deo, which means that we live before the face of God. In this way, God is all-seeing. He sees all, and we live our entire lives in his sight. R.C. Sproul, in a Ligonier article, which we'll link to in the show notes, says this, quote, "To live all of life, coram Deo, is to live a life of integrity. It is a life of wholeness that finds its unity and coherence in the majesty of God. A fragmented life is a life of disintegration. It is marked by inconsistency, disharmony, confusion, conflict, contradiction, and chaos. Integrity is found where men and women live their lives in a pattern of consistency. It is a pattern that functions the same basic way in church and out of church. And listen to this, because this is the kicker. Sproul says, it is a life that is open before God. It is a life in which all that is done as to the Lord. It is a life lived by principle, not expediency, by humility before God, not defiance. It is a life lived under the tutelage of conscience that is held captive by the word of God, end quote. Now, if we are living life coram Deo, if we are living a life open and before God with integrity, with principle, with humility, what can AI see or do that God cannot overcome? AI cannot detect the patterns of our heart, right? AI cannot offer you salvation, nor can it sanctify you. That power alone belongs to God, who sees all and is ever present. If we're honest, who needs AI when we have God?
Now, that is a question to meditate on. Man, I love Sproul so much. He was just an incredible man of God. But who really needs AI when we have an omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent God? I mean, it's just to live your life before the majesty of God. Oh, what a fantastic phrase. I really am going to meditate on that all day. But we must go on. So we have to think, we know what's true about this kind of AI portrayal, but now we need to think about what's false about the all-seeing AI kind of surveillance state. Well, what is false is that we have no control whether or not AI knows almost everything about us, like where we go, what we buy, who we hang out with, etc. While there is certainly no way to control all the data that's collected on you unless you live completely off the grid like a Luddite, there are obvious measures that everyone can take to actually limit at least the amount of data that AI gathers. This includes posting pictures, personal narratives, your location, random thoughts, angry comments, whatever you willingly put online can be tied back to you. We do have control over this. And frankly, giving this content up to social media platforms is literally like inviting AI and Meta into your bedroom, because that really is what social media's goal is. Its goal is to be all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-seeing. We go into great deal and discussion about this in our social media and apologetic class that we offer. So if you're interested in hosting that class, please email us. We would love to come to you to speak with you guys. But I think it's helpful for our listeners to remember that technology, while it really, really wants to be all-seeing and all-knowing, it's always going to be a facade. It can never do what our God does. And if you live your life how RC described it, inconsistent, chaotic, fragmented, then I encourage you to prayerfully sit before the Lord and ask Him to show you where or how it's being compartmentalized and not being lived wholly and all for Him.
I don't think that we as adults living in this time and space of internet, technology, AI, all of that, fully recognize how much power we do still have. Well, we can't limit everything, but we really do have the power to limit how much technology knows about our children. And we should limit how much they know about our children. If this AI scene surveillance is something that concerns you in general, that you're being watched, that it's listening to you through your phone and all of that, then we should really be making changes to how much we're giving them. It's not only how we're living before God, but it's also just using the wisdom that God has given us to then live out wisely in the ways that we can in society. And I think that that definitely includes limiting how much information we are giving the internet about our kids. Okay, the last portrayal is the AI helper. This is the bait in front of the hook. AI will come in as your helper and seem so unassuming and wonderful. Because you know what? We've got the power to control it and we have the power to command it. And it can just make our lives so great and so easy. So the movies that have portrayed AI as a helper, of course, let's go back to the Jetsons, right? Rosie or R2-D2 from Star Wars. Wall-E from Disney's Wall-E. The robot from Lost in Space. All of these are of the AI helper.
I think that out of all of the portrayals, this is the easiest one actually to accept. Because it seems like AI is in its rightful place under man's dominion, right? But the truth is, we have to really ask ourselves, is it? I mean, look at WALL-E, and yes, I know this is a cartoon, but it highlights something really important for us. It appears that man is in control of the technology, but is he? He can't actually do anything for himself anymore, including walking. Is he in control or is he completely dependent?
Yeah, that is a good question to ask our children. Is man in control of that robot? And are they living in such a way that they still have dominion over it? Or has the computers made them almost lazy, slothful, not doing anything because the robots are doing it all? And when we see AI and computers and movies poised as helpers in this sense, we can ask our children, hey, what do we know to be true about AI being a helper, maybe in our own life? And if you have younger kids, or maybe kids who don't have a lot of online access, which good for you, you've got those. If you have an Alexa, maybe smart speaker in your home, or if you've used Google Maps in the presence of your child or Siri on your phone, with your help, they can begin to have a sense how AI is a helper, because it is. We are already living this sort of AI as a helper type of life. Anything that you do in the sense of voice to text or using an algorithm, a Google search is using AI as a helper. But on the other hand, if your kids have been on YouTube or Netflix or a video game, maybe that keeps them drawn in with points or coins, chances are you can have a very fruitful discussion about the way AI portrays itself as a helper in suggesting, you know, relatable or similar content, recommending new movies, or giving you a dopamine hit with every win. But in actuality, these are not helpful. They're actually habitual. They are manipulative, and they work against self-control and impulse control, responsibility and time management. So kids may not recognize that, but when you talk about it, they can actually see that what is being poised as being a helper and sometimes feels good and sometimes it keeps you amused and keeps you entertained and keeps you happy is not actually what is good for you. And we do know what is false about the narrative of the AI helper. First, it's easy to state the opposite, that AI cannot be really considered helpful if it diminishes or displaces good things in our life, such as play or reading, relationships, sleep. And really, I think the list is endless if you put them on the scales of what is better, an AI-driven algorithmic entertainment or the other things that are an option in life. But what we also know is false is that AI is not the helper that Christ promised to send all who believe in him and who call upon his name. In John 16:7, Jesus says this, "But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So the Holy Spirit is translated as helper in several translations. The word is actually parakletos, and it can also mean advocate, counselor, encourager, and comforter. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if some big tech companies actually have the goal to make AI qualified to be an advocate, a counselor, an encourager, a comforter, and a helper. I've seen AI applications that try to do these very things. I mean, I just think about the AI programs that allow you to use your deceased loved one's voice to create a chatbot that you can talk to, right? Surely they are trying to fill the role of comforter.
And don't forget counselor. Our chatbot therapy episode was, yikes, Kelly, that's what it was, yikes.
Yeah, they're trying to also become the counselor. And I would definitely say the encourager as well. But no AI program is God. God is uncreated, right? That's what it means to be eternal. No one created him. He's just always existed. This is a fundamental part of God's nature. But AI is created, and its intelligence will never surpass God's, and its ability to help will never come close to what the Spirit of God, which raised Christ from the dead, can do to help us in our state here, living on earth in humanity. Hebrews 13:6 says, "We confidently say, The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? And no, we cannot disqualify this verse because it doesn't say, what can an AI robot do to me? Because God made man and man made computers. And in the same way that God made man intelligent, man makes computers intelligent. Okay. So it is like a secondary creation. It is not what God created. Just as we humans will never overcome or go beyond God's knowledge and wisdom, nothing that man creates will go beyond God's intelligence. Now, can we use AI for help? Sure, I think so, with wisdom and discernment. But I would argue few people have the knowledge of AI capabilities to really weigh the risks. I mean, I think you and I, Chelsea, have barely just enough knowledge to know that the wisest choice is the most minimal choice.
Absolutely. As my mom told me when she started letting me wear makeup, less is more. And frankly, that mantra is still true today, and we can tack the portrayal of AI helpers onto that same advice.
Less is more, absolutely. Wisdom is not giving AI a pass to do what we can still do in fulfilling our creational purposes on earth. And what are those purposes? Why are we created to live on this earth? Well, we are created to be in relationship with each other and with God, to work, to love, and to honor and serve God, and to make disciples. These are our creation purposes. And just because AI can does not mean that it should.
Amen. Now, thankfully, as believers, we don't have to take this bait. God has equipped us with His Holy Spirit, and we have a big C counselor, and He will help us use self-control and patience and discernment so that we don't end up being enslaved to technology. When Jesus was getting ready for His trial and His impending execution, He encourages the disciples to believe that He's leaving them with His peace because He will send the Spirit to indwell them. And I think, Kelly, I think that's where we should land today, is what we want to leave our listeners with is peace, that God is still in control of everything, that He is still mighty to save, He is still abounding in steadfast love, and He will bestow mercy and grace to each believer who approaches His throne. I know that right now, you guys, we live in a wild time, but believers for centuries have also lived through wild times. And you know what kept them brave? Christ crucified and resurrected. He is why we have confidence and bravery and hope. So don't let your imaginations get away with you, or don't let them spiral out of control. Instead, take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ by using His word and His truth.
Yeah, that's a great place to land. Absolutely. Okay, so that is our five portrayals of AI entertainment. But just to review, AI in the entertainment industry is portrayed as a killer, a lover, a philosopher, an all-seeing surveillance, and a helper. But as we just walked through, while these images may have been the framework with which we have interpreted AI up until now, we can now reframe all of these through the sufficiency of Scripture. Knowing the character and nature of God is essential as we face the unknown AI world.
Now, just as a quick little resource, if you have not read Knowing God by J.I. Packer, this is an absolutely wonderful, excellent book to help you understand God's nature and attributes. Maybe take a month of, you know, TV, movie fasting, Netflix fasting, and read the book, because it's quite amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And I firmly believe that knowing the nature of God, knowing who He is and His attributes, it helps put all of this into such a perspective. I'm actually less worried about what AI is going to do in the sense of all these different portrayals. I'm actually more concerned with parents, families, people complacently just going along with the downstream flow that comes from big tech, like the big tech waterfall that's pouring out all of this new stuff. And so knowing God and knowing that He is sovereign and knowing that He is in control, and that his attributes of omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, it puts AI just right there in its place. And that's the hope that we want to leave you with today. We'd love for you to share the podcast with others. We believe the whole church as a whole needs to resist these false narratives and these half-truths that are posited by AI in the entertainment industry. And one way that you can do that is to just share the knowledge you learned today, have a conversation with someone, and share the podcast. We would just love that. All right, friends, that is all we have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back again next week. We have a great guest coming up for you. We're excited to share that with you. Thank you so much for listening. Until next week, go and be brave.